On today's Compassion Radio.
I'm sure the disciples were surprised. After praying, Jesus says, okay, you're the answer. Yeah. Off you go. He's looking to do that with us. And I think there's great joy in it when we go and we see that he's faithful. You know, in Luke 10, the disciples come back and they're amazed at all that they saw God do through them. God wants to give that same gift to us as well.
When it comes to building His kingdom and transforming the world, what's God's plan A? Hi, and welcome to today's Compassion Radio, the journal of God's kingdom on the move, and it's definitely going places. If you've said yes to Jesus, well, you're standing at the very center of the action. Back to the question, what is God's plan A? Take a look in the mirror for His answer, friend. Hold on, you might say. I'm no world changer. Better move on to plan B. To which the Spirit of God would say, take another look in that mirror, would you? We can play this game all day. Well, you get the point. Whether we think we signed on to be God's representative or not, how we represent Him literally defines for others the God we actually worship. Now, does that get your attention? Like it or not, you are God's ambassador. The better question is probably, how are you doing at the job? And that's where we've got to finally take that look in the mirror. If it sounds scary, fear not, you've got good company. Seth Barnes of Adventures in Missions is back for one more program to give you the kind of encouragement you need to get honest with yourself and with God Himself. His transparent telling of the ins and outs, the ups and downs of kingdom work, will set your mind at ease. Frankly, the works of God always seem to start with His Spirit moving us to get out of bed and get moving. Simple as that. First stop, a little time with Him and His Word. We'll pick it up today with a recap on the struggle of staying in the Spirit when basic life challenges test our willingness to live the kind of fruit that God desires from us. Thanks for tuning our way today. You got to be a good student of human nature, but also of God's character to be able to lead an organization like you have. And do it effectively and respectfully, building something that God really wants built. Mm. Talk to me about this culture of selfishness and how it's bubbling up in us now and what we should and can be doing about it.
Well, I think it's in every one of us. I was on a plane to Seattle, and going over there, I wore a certain kind of mask. Mm-hmm. And then coming back, they said, no, you can't wear that mask. We don't allow that mask. Did I feel like answering back and, you know, maybe having a little argument right there? Of course. You know, that's me.
Yeah.
So I think these are fraught times. These are times that test men's souls. Whatever's in you is going to come out. I begin with, can we just do the inside work that allows us to bear good fruit, the peaceable fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And so how do we do that? Well, it does help to serve and to subordinate the ego. I've got a mentor who said he prays for one good humiliation every day.
For himself, huh?
Yeah, and he's a big deal leader. He's out there in the public eye. He needs the humiliation just to recognize the quality of his own temptation and his likelihood to succumb at some point. I don't think it's any different than it's ever been. There's always going to be that temptation to just kind of give in to what Jesus calls sin. We, you know, may look at it and say, well, that's social media and, you know, people responding without any decorum to my blog. But it's always been that way. There's always been the testing of our faith that comes. And so what I would do is just to begin with a deep look inside and to ask people to spend the time they need with the Lord where He can show them the quality of their witness, the quality of their testimony, and they can begin to repent. If I don't give Him that opportunity, and if I just kind of gloss over the things in my life that are not ultimately going to reflect Him well, then, yeah, of course, at some point I'm going to manifest a poor witness.
Yeah.
I think people don't know how to, you know, young people especially don't know how to be quiet. Mm. They don't know how to spend long periods of time with God. I want to just begin there. When I started the World Race, I wanted to create a church planting movement. Well, that lasted about 3 months, and I realized people need a lot more identity work, you know. They need a lot more help just walking out their own personal lives before they're able to go and establish all kinds of kingdom work. And I think it's still that way.
So you've been in the business of providing the church, the kingdom around the world, good feedstock, people that are willing to actually walk the way of Jesus. The culture that we're in, Seth, I hear you speaking about speaking gently into things, but the word your mentor used, humiliation, is kind of a brutal version to me from seeking humility. We would usually use gentler terms. Why he would invite or ask God to humiliate him or provide opportunities for that to happen, it's kind of a rough thing for me to even contemplate, but I think I get where you're going with it and what he might be saying to you. Yeah, it kind of goes back for me in thinking about David, you know, search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way. And not that's just mistakes or off the mark, but something really fundamentally wrong with my thinking. But when he says that to God, of course, he's at the end of having made these great proclamations about God's justice and his righteousness and his place and his favor with God and how good it is to be in his favor. And then it's like the brakes screech and he says, wait a minute. What if I'm way off base here? What if what I think about God and myself isn't correct? Whoa. Okay, God, search me. Is there something I'm missing here? And that one statement for me is all of Scripture seems to be the most honest I've ever read.
Right. Yeah.
What do you do with that when people are suddenly discovering, hey, God may have a different perspective than me? Sometimes it can be really soul-crushing to people to discover that.
Absolutely. That's why I think the word humiliation is a good one. Because the flesh does not want to die. And when Jesus says, take up your cross, we want to view that as kind of metaphorical. If we think of the little gold cross that we might wear around our neck, but the cross is an instrument of mortification of the flesh.
Yeah.
And the flesh needs to die. We're always going to want to disobey. I've got 7 grandchildren, and it's fun to not be the one that's responsible for actually raising them, but to kind of chip in here and there. And what I watch is the same thing I saw with my own 5 children. They want to disobey, and there's just something that's hardwired in them, you know, and they need to be corrected, absolutely, same way we do as adults. And that kind of recognition, all right, I'm not in charge. I'm actually a disciple. I'm following somebody. It's obedience. And you know, Jesus was always saying, you know, obey. Those aren't words that we are accustomed to in America, you know, the land of the free.
Mm-hmm.
And man, everybody wants self-expression.
Yeah.
And young people especially are going to struggle with that. It's an anti-cultural message.
It is.
But we've got to start there.
I don't want to misguide our listeners in that humiliation, where they may be thinking about the word, is something that we are celebrating, because I'm not. The church has been humiliating people for centuries against the will of God. When your mentor is talking about him himself inviting humiliation, looks for one, it's not saying that I want God to humiliate me. I don't believe his spirit can ever do that because it's not his nature. His job is simply to comfort us and direct us to Jesus and help us to do it. You know, he's not a killer of our hearts. He brings back to life that which was dead. So when we talk about humiliation, we got to think about it in terms of how God perceives our needs, not that he is a vindictive or capricious God and he delights in harming us for some reason. But he does allow, as in Job can tell us, so much stuff to happen that is way beyond our comprehension at the time, and yet he's still with us in it. So I don't want people to think that we are preaching an abusive culture at all. I'm tired myself, Seth, of the kind of spiritual and emotional and even the sexual abuse that we have buried and tried to deny, you know, for generations in the West, in our churches, that God, I think, is allowing to be flushed out so that the real healing can begin. But it's going to be a painful time for the church to be able to face up, or at least to allow God to bring to our hearts and mind that which has offended him. So where's the hope in all that?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe a better word is humbling. Humiliation sounds like something that involves degradation. But what I think of is that often we've settled for less. God wants to give us abundance.
Yeah.
He wants us to feel an amazing depth of love.
Yes.
And we'll settle for a cheap gospel. And so
we do a lot.
When I think of humbling, I think of him allowing my eyes to look up. Like, I'm not enough, so I need to look elsewhere for my strength, my power, and that comes from him only. It's the sort of thing that a parent does when they discipline or chasten their child. They're showing them a better way.
Yeah, I think about times even early on when I had to spank my kids for the first time, you know.
Yeah.
Those are not easy experiences, and I can remember having to say to my kids, you know, look at me, because I did not want them to see anger.
Right.
I simply wanted them to see the tears.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the kind of father that we've got. He's got an amazing life ahead for us. the idea of simplicity, the idea of fasting, the idea of cutting back all that we've embraced that has been maybe a compromise is difficult initially, but there's so much more. I mean, the joy that you have when you're not encumbered by all the things that have really enslaved you and are a compromise. And it's difficult when you encounter a young person that is in a negative, lonely place, and to get to a place where they're embraced and where there's a smile on their face often requires some measure of pain. So there's certainly a balance. It's not about the pain, but the pain is a vehicle or it's a path to get to the joy.
Kind of like being able to heal from a bad disease that needs to be cut out, or some surgery to fix the problem is painful. But at the end, you have your life back. And I think the experience many of your kids probably have traveling with your teams and even the adults that go with the adult teams, some of them are coming through some great hurts and harms, even traumas in their lives, that God is finally going to heal by letting them serve at his side.
Amen.
And helping them to do it and discovering his love again that way. And I'm glad you have that door open for us. So I'm going to ask you to close out our time. We got a few more minutes left to talk about this. How is God then helping you to clarify and to reduce and reset in your life? And how is he doing the same thing for Adventures and Missions? This is a new chapter in life for you. So obviously God's going to be echoing those calls on your life and his changes in your family into the ministry he's also entrusted to you. They're going to reflect those changes in your life. So tell me about what's happening with the Barneses and with the company.
Well, boy, so much is happening. And for me, what always inspires me is to see the long-term fruit, sometimes short-term investment. There's a young man who is from Nigeria, and he showed up as a commenter on my blog about 16 years ago. And I got to know him over time, and I saw that he had the heart of a discipler, that he actually worked as a missionary, flying from Nigeria to South Sudan to take care of vulnerable children and orphans and to disciple them. And then when there was the civil war, and so many of them had to flee their country and go down to refugee camps in Uganda. You know, that's when Uche and his wife Shola, they went with them and established a ministry there, and they saw that there was not schooling for young people, and so they set up a school, which has grown from several hundred to now close to, I think it's 800 or even 900 children are being trained there. And and the discipleship continues, and they've established a base there in northern Uganda. And so when you ask the question, you know, what is it that kind of gives you hope? I look at that. You know, now it's been 15, 16 years of relationship with Uche, and I love to encourage him, and I love to just allow him to thrive. I don't need to be the person that actually is front line on the ministry, but if I can go visit him, if I can help get prayer for him or donations for him, you know, then that's great. And I think that the ministry of Adventures and Missions writ large.
It's our prayer that even in trying times like this, especially in times like this, that many young people will continue to respond to the Lord's call on their lives and risk it all for him. If the world needs Jesus, well, then it needs us. We're the hands and feet he's using these days. We'll be back with more from Seth Barnes and the story of Adventures and Missions after this. We all still face great challenges in the days and months ahead, and God must be in it with us, or there's really very little reason for real hope. With his help, however, we will get through this together. We really need each other if we're going to see victory over fear and all the other enemies to a real, faithful living in this world. Please know that we deeply appreciate and value you. You, your prayers, your support, and friendship are what keeps us going. Thank you. Your courage and faithful giving keep us on the air, in the arena, standing with you to help the kingdom keep growing in the 21st century. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. We can't do this work any other way than with you. Thank you for loving us in this way.
When you ask the question, you know, what is it that kind of gives you hope. I look at that, you know, now it's been 15, 16 years of relationship with Uche, and I love to encourage him, and I love to just allow him to thrive. I don't need to be the person that actually is front line on the ministry, but if I can go visit him, if I can help get prayer for him or donations for him, you know, then that's great. And I think, you know, that's the Ministry of Adventures and Missions writ large. Hmm. So with our young people in Swaziland, you know, we've been in some cases ministering alongside the young people of Swaziland since 2004. And some of those young people are now leaders and have been walking with us for 17 years and are raising up other leaders. And I think that is what we're seeing around the world. If I look at Guatemala, and I was there last month, there's an amazing kind of second and third generation of leaders happening. As you know, 2 Timothy 2:2 is being walked out. As you know, if I'm a Paul, there's a Timothy there, and that Timothy is raising up others that are reliable, and those reliable ones are being allowed to disciple others. So for me, I think that's what we're seeing is a 2 Timothy 2:2 experience where many of our parents of world racers are now coaches.
Yeah, that's great.
And they're going out with 30 or 40 in a team, and they meet them around the world, and they pour into them and help them to grow in their identity and their calling. And then those young people, in turn, are able to make disciples. And that's where our hope comes from, is not in the short term of just a transaction, but ultimately it's the relationships over time bearing fruit that bring the kingdom.
When Jesus tells the disciples, pray for workers for the harvest, and as you said, that was at the end of him sending them out to experience the power of the Spirit firsthand and then bring back their reports. Let me show you how to do it, and let's talk about it, and let's plan for the future. Do you think that call to pray for the workers to go into the harvest is an every generational thing? Is there always a harvest going on?
Absolutely.
When it seems like in so many parts of the world that we're doing nothing but planting seed and not seeing a crop? Is it both every time?
Yeah, each generation is responsible for its epoch, for its, you know, 30 or so years, and passing it on to the next generation. If that exchange, the baton, is ever dropped, you know, then we're all sunk. So absolutely, everybody needs to be praying that prayer. Jesus didn't just bring his disciples. There's a record of that so that we would be able to do the same sort of thing. And I think we don't just pray. You know, I'm sure the disciples were surprised. After praying, Jesus says, okay, you're the answer. off you go.
Your plan A, your plan B too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he's looking to do that with us. And I think there's great joy in it when we go and we see that he's faithful. You know, in Luke 10, the disciples come back and they're amazed at all that they saw God do through them. And I think God wants to give that same gift to us as well. We may think we're too old. We're not too old. I'm getting older, and you know, with grandchildren, I look forward to empowering them in ways that will be maybe remarkable, even miraculous, because I've never seen God work through me as a grandfather in imparting missions to my grandchildren.
Yeah.
But he's looking to do that, I think, with all of us at different stages in our life. And so post-COVID, absolutely. He is looking for us to rise up and to pray that prayer and then to be the answer to that prayer.
And may he give you many, many more years to do that. Okay, Seth Barnes from Adventures and Missions, I do want to give you the opportunity here for a closing word. If you had a chance to take every on-the-fence Christian in America who's been worked up by a politics and thinks that God votes the way I do, and that's pretty much the end of my religion, if you could take him by the lapels and shake him a bit, what would you tell him?
Well, I wouldn't shake them.
Okay.
I might hug them, because we all need a good hug now, you know, and I think probably turning off the news is not a bad idea, because it's often bad news.
Yeah.
Let's just, instead of focusing on the things that we can't control, the news has always been bad. If you look long and far enough, you're going to see bad news. But let's begin with our families. Let's begin with ourselves. If we can just receive the Lord's love, and maybe we can impart it to our families. And if we can impart it to our families, maybe that family can be a shining beacon in a neighborhood. You know, there's broken hearts all over the neighborhoods around us. And if we can just start there, then ultimately, and it's an Acts 1:8 kind of dynamic, we're empowered to begin to reach out and to go into places that are hurting around our cities that are nearby. And ultimately, we become empowered to go and, you know, come alongside Uche in northern Uganda.
Yeah.
Or to go to India and to serve those that are going out and putting their lives on the line every day. That call to the ends of the earth doesn't just begin immediately. It tends to be more incremental, and if you're faithful a little, then you're given much. I wouldn't shake them by the lapels. I'd hug them. I'd talk about who they know and their family that needs a touch. What can be done to serve them? Or maybe there's repentance that needs to happen because we said some things that we shouldn't have. And as we become just faithful and little, I think God begins to empower us more and more to reach out and have greater leverage in other areas.
And there's humility and real power in that. I mean, you're talking about something that brings us back to the beginning of those Gospels.
Yeah.
When God calls us out and says, start walking with me, this is what it's like. You send kids out there around the world, and everyone assumes I'm going to jump straight to Acts 1:8. All the power is going to be unleashed, and here we go. And they're really beginning that process that the disciples started at the beginning of those Gospels.
Right.
So they may have the ability to see farther into the future or have experiences that get ahead of themselves that are wonderful. But nonetheless, there is no guarantee that following Christ is going to be instantly a rewarding and powerful experience other than for the presence of God and knowing that He's real.
Amen.
And that He's going to show something I've never seen before. But I am anxious in this generation about those who expect to jump straight to Acts and assume that nothing else has to prepare us for it. So I'm so thankful that Adventures and Missions is there to help get us into the discipleship way, how to follow Jesus, how to serve others, and how to bring the gospel, the good news, which is the antidote for bad news, of course, into a real context. I'm just so thankful you're still doing it and that God preserved AIM through all of the past couple of years, especially as brutal as it's been financially for so many institutions and organizations and ministries. You're faithful in that, and God has preserved you through this. So how can we be praying for AIM in the years to come?
Yeah, you know, many have been weakened. I think that we've actually been strengthened.
Amen.
We've been strengthened. I want to say that we have been strengthened by all that we've encountered. And our numbers are fewer, but they're more consecrated.
Mm.
Our financial position is actually as strong as it's ever been because
Amen.
Our supporters have been faithful. And our young people are eager to go out into all the world. They're
yeah.
eager to take others. And so as the fear begins to dissipate, as we begin to see the opportunity to get back on airplanes and to go and to bring hope to those that are desperate, you know, I think we're ready. And I want to invite anybody listening who's kind of wondering, you know, could I potentially contribute?
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. And talk to us. You know, we would be happy to talk to you about where God might lead you and how you might participate with Him in the Great Commission. It's an invitation that's as vital today as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And we're so thrilled to be a part of it and to not have to live in fear.
Hmm. Fear is the death of many things. So adventures.org is the organization's website. Adventures and Missions has been around now for over 30 years, doing exactly what the Great Commission says to do, which is to go. But again, to go in the context of to grow, to follow, and to serve before becoming leaders, you raise up servants, and I'm thankful for that. Seth Barnes from Adventures and Missions, thank you so much for spending this time with us on Compassion Radio.
It's been a pleasure, Bram. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Seth Barnes of Adventures and Missions for spending the past three programs with us on Compassion Radio. Adventures and Missions is an agency which has grown into one of the world's largest training, sending, and going missions agencies today. Even after 30 years, it looks like they're just getting started, and that's very good news. If you'd like to learn more about how you, your church, or someone you know might find a special place in Great Commission work and witness in the 21st century, Adventures and Missions is a great place to start your learning journey. They're on the web at adventures.org. That's adventures with an S .org.
Thank you.
thank you for all you do to keep Compassion Radio on the air. We've had our own ups and downs over the past 78 years, and we've always found our audience and our partners in each generation. Since you're hearing this program right now, you're the generation we're looking for. We can keep encouraging and challenging you if you allow us to. We're a 100% listener-supported ministry, and we simply cannot bring you this program without that support. I hope you'll prayerfully consider it today. And here's how to contact us. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.